Today we're going to be looking at the book of Deuteronomy once again, chapter 22, as we have been going through together as a congregation, reading the Bible in a year. And by the way, it's never too late to join if you haven't been. You can ask us for a list of that as well, and we can tell you which passages we are reading each day together as a congregation. Deuteronomy chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. You shall not see your countryman's ox or his sheep straying away, and pay no attention to them. You shall certainly bring them back to your countryman. If your countryman is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall remain with you until your countryman looks for it. Then you shall restore it to him. Thus you shall do with his donkey, and you shall do the same with his garment, and you shall do likewise with anything lost by your countryman, which he has lost and you have found. You are not allowed to neglect them. One of the things that is very important any time that you study scripture in any way, that you're always looking for an application, you're always asking the question, how does this apply? The best way to ask that question, and it's the greatest theological question ever known to man, is after you read a passage of scripture, you just simply say two words. And those two words are, so what? It's the greatest theological question ever, is so what? What does this mean to me? How does this apply? For example, you can read a lot of things throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament at times, and without understanding the context, you can take it just at its surface level of what it's being, of what the words are being said, and say, well, that must mean that I must do this. And then you go ahead and you do it. Or you try to do it. But there's context to understand what the importance is of the application, what the importance is of what you should do, or actually how you should live based upon what you just read. Somebody else put it this way, that it's not just application, not just asking so what, but it's also asking what does this change? I finished studying a passage of scripture. The question then is, okay, that's good. What does this change? What is God changing in me as a result of this passage? Now, if you've been following along, you know that there's some very difficult passages specifically here in Deuteronomy. And basically what's happening is Moses is repeating the law from in the previous books of Exodus and the law in Leviticus. He's repeating it so that the people are able to get another grasp on it, because many of them weren't alive the first time because many of them had been wiped out. So he's repeating the law to them, and as he's repeating it, he's giving more specific details. And a lot of these you would read through and you would say, well, this is ridiculous. I don't know why he has to say this. This doesn't make any sense. But you begin to realize, why is this actually happening at all? Like, you start to think about, why did God give the law in the first place? What was the purpose of this? Why did this even happen, the whole Ten Commandment idea? And by the way, when I was a kid, I learned the Ten Commandments. How many of you learned the Ten Commandments? And I have nothing against the Ten Commandments. Now, let me just preface that. I have nothing against it. But I did not learn every detail there was to those Ten Commandments when I was a kid. All I ever learned was just the basics. This is, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. Just list it right down. But no one ever told me all the details in the Old Testament. If you haven't seen the details of those yet, as you've been reading, go back or look them up. You'll find that you do not want to keep the Ten Commandments based upon what the Old Testament tells you. It is very specific, very stringent, and in fact, no one really can. And that's one of the reasons why we ran into the problem that we did with Christ having to come, because man was unable to keep all the laws that they had. When we get to this passage in particular, we look at this and we look at what he's saying here in chapter 22. And he's dealing with something that you and I may not have to deal with much. Some of you may. He's dealing with if you are driving down the road, or if you see somebody's cattle got loose, that you just don't keep going, that you get out of the car, you take the cattle back to the owner and find out where the cattle was. right? One time I was driving down the road and this very thing happened. The cattle got loose and I could barely even steer. But boy, there was a delayed reaction there. I know you're wearing masks, but you know. But I could hardly keep my hand on the wheel. I mean, it was tough. But anyway, I'll be here all week, folks. So anyway, the whole idea is that if you notice a situation like that, that you actually get out and help. The same idea would be today that if somebody's stranded on the road, that you would actually help them. So the bottom line that he's getting to in this first passage in this chapter is that we are here to help one another. We are here to help others. And in fact, I would boil down this whole chapter in the next two chapters, 22 through 24, and probably all of Deuteronomy, to the thesis statement that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we are told to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then when Jesus quotes that in the New Testament, he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, before they get to that thesis statement, he makes it very clear how important these teachings are. He says, these teachings are so important, you are to talk about them when? All the time. All the time. He says, talk about them when you get up. Talk about them when you get down, when you lay down. Talk about them when you're walking with your children on the road. Wrap them around your wrist so you can be reminded of them. That's how important these teachings are. And that was the importance of the law, was the idea that you should be loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your heart, soul, and strength. And God, this is all for God. Everything you do for God is for God. So then we get into this chapter and we see that everything we do is for God. So it's the two things the same, is that we are here to please God and we are here to help our brother. Love God and love our neighbor. You see that pretty much throughout all scripture. You really can't get away from it. Love God, love neighbor, those are the two things. Now, the bottom line that you get from this, though, is that, and this was the reason why the law was there in the first place, is that we are to be different. That's what God's message was to them after they had left Egypt, was that we are to be different. We are not the same as everybody else. If we are a follower of Christ, we are to live differently. There are different situations. There's a difference between us and them. And we think about that idea, and you think about different, and what is he getting at? Well, you look through these chapters, and if you haven't read through these chapters yet, chapters 22 through 24, I would say to go ahead and read it, but I would say to brace yourself, because he gets into some very sticky situations and very delicate information. He talks about sexual immorality. He talks about kidnapping and slave trade. Yes, in the Bible, in Deuteronomy. Yes, he talks about how you shouldn't be involved in that, and all of that, though, if you talk about all of those things, sexual immorality, and you talk about the idea of slave trade and kidnapping and those kind of things, all of those all fall under the guise of what? Love for God and love for neighbor. See, if everybody had love for God and love for neighbor all figured out perfectly, we would not have sexual immorality. Nor would we have kidnapping or slave trade. If everybody had that figured, because everything comes down to that. If I love God and if I love my neighbor, which is all the teaching that he's giving here in these three chapters, is the whole concept, the whole idea, you are not your own. Which comes down to the idea that you do not live according to instinct. You just don't live according to what you want to do. It is no longer about what you want to do anymore. You're serving God. He's your Lord. Jesus is Lord. So if he's your Lord, that means he's Kyrios. He's the owner and disposer. What he says goes. Whether you like it or not, whether you have an opinion of it or not, whether it seems right to you or not, whether it seems wrong to you, it does not matter. What he says goes. And that's the whole purpose of the message of what God's trying to get through with the law and with Deuteronomy and everything that he's teaching there is that you are to be different. And the reason that all of these things are he's hitting on, all the specifics of he's getting into of the sexual immorality, he gets into the idea of extramarital relations. He gets into the idea of ancestral relations and all of those things that he gets into. The reason behind it is because they were surrounded by that corruption. Because at the time, that corruption existed, and it existed heavily, and it existed amongst the people who were godless, who did not serve God. And so the whole message is you are to be different. Don't be like them. It's really amazing, isn't it? Because if there's ever a time, and I hate even saying that, if there's ever a time, I guess that's just a cliche statement. It's something I'm used to saying. If there's ever a time, it's now. Because I heard that when I was a kid, and probably every generation has said a statement similar. If there was ever a time, it's now. Because we didn't invent sin, right? We didn't invent sin. This generation didn't invent sin. The younger generation didn't invent sin. Sin has been around ever since the fall of man. Sin has been here, and it has, and Satan has always been trying to get everybody involved. And so there's this whole issue of constant influence and constant pressure. Everywhere you turn, you see that today, don't you? Constant pressure, constant influence. Give in. Give in to what? What I just said. Give in to the immorality. Give in to everything that we used to say was wrong now is all of a sudden is okay and right. I was talking with a teacher friend of mine here recently. He's a public school teacher. Do we have any teachers here by any chance? Yes, we do. Public school teacher. He's been doing his job for 25 years now. And he talked to me here recently, and he said, I'm afraid this is going to have to be my last year. I asked him why, and he proceeded to explain. He told me the details of what's going on in his school right now that he just cannot deal with. A friend, one of his peers, came to him and said, well, where's your fight? Why don't you fight against this then? Why would you leave? His answer to them was, well, I can see the writing on the wall. And he said, I can ram my shoulder into that wall as many times as I want, but I know it's not going to move. And he said, that's what I'm up against now. And he just explained the, not just things that are permissible, but the things that are encouraged, the curriculum he's supposed to okay now. The school play that is supposed to be okay now, which involves immorality like crazy, and a song that the kids were singing in the play, which was absolutely ridiculous, that would have to be censored, that is okay now. And I'm just saying that as just an isolated example. You've probably heard other teachers saying the same thing, that right now we are surrounded with this whole thing of influence and pressure, that as Christians, we don't have to be different. And I'm not, when I say different, I'm not talking about we need to all dress in suits and we need to carry the 10-pound Bible and we're holy because that's Pharisees. We're not talking about the whole Pharisee idea. What we're talking about is the idea that we are here to be different. Once you start serving Jesus, you're different. Why? Because you're living for a different reason. You're living for a different purpose. You're not living for the same reason and purpose that others are living for. Think about this. Think about it this way for a moment. If there was no God, what would your life be like right now? Just think about it, just for a moment. If there was no God, Let's just say, if there was no God, and let's just add to that and say, if there was no God and if there were no consequences to your actions whatsoever, what would you be doing? Would anything be different? Because the thing is, if we take God out of the picture and we take his teachings out of the picture, we become pretty bad, don't we? We don't want to admit that, do we? But we become pretty bad. We're evil natured without God. And so without God, I mean, the things that we say are a shame, the things that we think are ridiculous, we would probably be involved in it if we were living according to, which is why God is doing this in the Old Testament and through the law and in Deuteronomy. And this is why he's telling them, hey, you are to be different. You are about loving God and loving your neighbor. And that's why he had to get so specific with each of these laws and explain every single thing down, where he, even in the next chapter, in chapter 23, he talks about murder, and he talks about how is a murder case taken care of. If somebody is found dead and no one knows who did it, someone has to suffer the consequences. And he talks about all of these things included with all the other immorality. That's why he was specifying, you are different. Now, as we've been going through the Old Testament, it is interesting because it is hard to make the application in the Old Testament, because we know that we are no longer under law, we are under grace. And we have been finding this out over the last several weeks. We've been talking about what are the parallels from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Because when Jesus did this, when Jesus preached, Jesus would preach and he would teach the parts of the Old Testament that he would affirm, and then he would say, no, but things are different now. This is no longer the case, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, when he said, you heard that it was said this, but I tell you this. You heard that it was said this, but I tell you this. So Jesus and the New Testament completes all this idea of being different. And so what I'd like to do today is I'd like to read for you the book of 1 Peter. And in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this has become the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling block, a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you... Notice that? You are different. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you, as aliens, you're different, and strangers, you're different, to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as you observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. And that's in the New Testament. We're aliens. We're strangers. We don't fit with everything else that's surrounding us. We don't fit with the pressures and influences that are surrounding us. We don't fit. This isn't comfortable. Have you ever been to someone's place to visit and you weren't comfortable? You just weren't comfortable. And I'm not talking about who they were. I mean, that can be that way, but I'm talking about the chair they have you sat in. It just wasn't comfortable, right? Many years ago, Miranda was the youth leader at our one church, and I was actually at our first church too. And we had this chair in our living room. And this chair was a nice chair. It was plush. It was really good. You sit down in it. It was one of those that had a lot of cushion, and you can even rock on it at the same time. But it was missing a bolt on this one side, which meant if you were anywhere off balance, just a little bit. So there were many times Miranda would have the teens over for activities. That was the initiation chair. Hey, you're new. Hey, sit here. Oh, okay. And then it was just, everybody's waiting, and then eventually they laugh because they fall out, right? Now, if that would happen to you, would you want to sit down anywhere else in that house? Even if they offered you, you wouldn't want to do that, right? I remember growing up, and my family, we would always have Christmas at my aunt's house, and my aunt just had this incredible, plush, perfect home. I'm talking perfect. I'm talking there wasn't any stain anywhere. Man, I liked going there for Christmas because I liked the gifts and so forth, but I was uncomfortable every year because Chad's gonna spill something on that nice carpet. It's not comfortable. We've all been in those situations where we're not comfortable, and we're happy to get in those places that we are comfortable, right? A lot of times, you know, you just like to relax and be comfortable. And sometimes that can only happen in your home. It can't happen elsewhere. I mean, it would be interesting, wouldn't it, if you were at the workplace and you got comfortable there, how you get comfortable in the evenings at home. Wouldn't that be interesting? Of course, COVID kind of changed all that. I saw somebody post a while back that the only challenge they have during COVID and during the lockdown time is changing out of my daytime pajamas to my nighttime pajamas. That's all I have to do, right? But we you know, it's the idea of being comfortable. Well, that's what it should be as followers of Christ. We're uncomfortable. Why? Because we aren't here for the same reason. We don't live according to our impulses and our instincts. Like he said, abstain from fleshly lusts. Why? Abstain from sexual immorality. Why? Why do you do this? Because you're different. Because you're serving Jesus. Something he said in Deuteronomy chapter 22 often, and in fact, he started in chapter 19 and he started moving further, is one statement. And this one statement was where he says several times, and you can find this where he says it several times, is you must purge the evil from among you. So what they're saying is, why? God, why are you doing this? What's all with these laws? What's happening? You need to purge the evil from among you. That's God's goal, and that didn't stop at the law, and it's still his goal in the New Testament is to purge the evil because we are different. It's interesting when you think about being different, because in a lot of ways, what we're really talking about here when we talk about being different, it really does come down to perspective, don't you? Doesn't it? How you see things really affects how different you are or who you are or what your motivation in life is compared to how other people see things. Kind of all comes down to perspective. I guess you could say it all comes down to focus. You know, how can you see, how's your focus? Where are you focused during this time? What is it that you are after? What's your main purpose in life versus what this individual's purpose is in life? So it all comes down to perspective. So I want you to think about this. Now I understand, if I remember this right, because I don't follow this much, because it's definitely not something I celebrate. But it was yesterday, right? Was yesterday, today? Bob mentioned it. Was it yesterday or today is the first day of spring? I always get it confused. Yesterday was the first day of spring. And as you know, that depresses your pastor, because you know that all the white stuff's gone and we're moving into the heat of August soon and how miserable it's going to be. But I realized that driving in this morning, I was like, man, we missed it again. And I'm pretty sure they did it again. I don't know if they did it with COVID and everything, but anybody ever go to Rita's on the first day of spring? Yeah, we do have some. They didn't do it this year? Oh, we didn't miss it after all. Very good. But you know, every year, what do? They give out their free water ice, right? Free, first day of spring. That's why it's lined up like crazy out there. So I just wanted you to think about this for a moment. Just imagine that you were to go to Rita's or Dairy Queen or wherever, whatever it might be, and you order your favorite, whatever it may be, and you're sitting in the car eating it because you have to get somewhere. You don't have any time to go anywhere else, and you're sitting in the car eating it, and you're just enjoying this nice refreshment. And you just happen to notice, you're just looking out, and there's a tree on this side, and there's a tree on this side, and you don't think much about it until all of a sudden you notice there's a squirrel up in this tree, and you see the squirrel rummaging around, and you're thinking a little bit about it, and the squirrel starts coming down the tree trunk, and you're still enjoying this, you know, no big deal. And then out of this corner of your eye, you notice that on the other tree, another squirrel's coming down. They're coming down, and it's like, oh, this is interesting. And then they start heading towards each other, and you're thinking, this is interesting. And because, you know, you don't really want to think much about this because you're enjoying your nice refreshment that you just got, you know, your favorite flavor. And then all of a sudden, you see that they're going right here, because right in the middle, there's this one nut. And they're both going at it. And you're saying, well, this could get interesting. So you start to watch them. And then you begin to see them start to fight over this one nut. Maybe a little bit of tug of war action going on. If you were to put voices with it, it'll be something like, it's mine, I saw it first. No, you didn't, I did. And going back and forth. And it just may, this little skirmish just may take your eyes and mind and taste buds off of your delicacy that you're enjoying, because you notice that this is interesting. And you may even want to get the phone out and take a video of this and start sharing it around. They're actually fighting over a nut. Now, you're laughing about this, but I'll tell you one thing. If you were one of the squirrels, you would not find it funny. Right? Could you imagine that, interviewing the squirrel afterwards and saying, boy, that was funny, wasn't it? I don't see anything funny about it. I was hungry. I wanted a nut, and I saw it first. And of course, the guy doing the press, if he had both of them on either side, they probably would end up fighting over him. No, you didn't. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. Yes, you did. Now, just for a moment, I want you to change scenes here, because many of you are sitting here going, oh my goodness, he finally lost his mind. Okay, just for a moment, I want you to change scenes here with me. God is the one sitting in the car. We're the squirrels. And he's looking at us and he's saying, he may not laugh because it may hurt him more than laughter, but he may just be saying, man, your behavior is ridiculous. You're here for a different reason. I don't understand what's... You see, it's all a matter of perspective. Right? So today there may be a nut in your life like that maybe you're fighting over, or maybe out of impulse you think you deserve it and you're gonna have it, or whatever it may be. But if you take a step back and you look at it from God's perspective, you're able to say, that's pretty ridiculous. Because I'm here to live different. I have a different focus. I have a different goal. I have a different purpose. And it goes well beyond just going according to my instincts or going according to what I feel is right or going according to the way that I think God made me or all these. It goes according to what he teaches and what he says in his word, that there is no excuse. There is none. And you can't find it in scripture anywhere where there is an excuse to say, well, I indulged in that God because, no. He said right here, Peter said it right here. And by the way, you know who the people he was writing to? When Peter wrote this letter, you know what he was writing? He was writing to people who were under persecution. And it's amazing how in the letter that he's writing to those who were under immense persecution, that he still had a problem with their behavior, that their behavior still needed to be fixed, even under persecution, which means what? There is no environment that's going to keep us from the temptation that of indulging in the behaviors that we shouldn't be involved in. He was writing this to people who were under persecution, and he's telling them, and he gets to this chapter, and he says, and you must abstain from the fleshly lusts that war against your soul. Why? Because the ones who are persecuting you don't see any difference otherwise. And the ones who are persecuting you are looking in and they're saying, well, what's with this Jesus thing? You do the same thing we do. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth and for all that you mean to us. And God, I guess we probably just need to get to that place. Some, perhaps many, have already got to that place. But God, I guess we just need to get to that place where we just accept the fact that we're going to be different. Where we just accept the fact that others aren't going to understand us because we have a different purpose. We have a different hope. We don't live according to what others live according to. We don't live according to what the world lives according to. We live according to what you want and what you desire. And Lord, today, Jesus, some of us might be dealing with a temptation that is stronger than we, at least we think it's stronger than we can bear. And Lord, I pray that you would take anyone who's dealing with that, take them a step back, so they can see the situation, they can see the temptation, they can see all of it from your perspective. And when we see it from your eyes, we see how ridiculous it is. We are called for a different purpose. Show us what this means. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.